From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Watch Dana Brown's new documentary about surfing, titled Step Into Liquid, and you can feel yourself inside the curls of monster waves, a wild rush of water pressing in all around you.
All it takes is, you know, just one wave, not even that, one turn. You know, just a moment. It keeps pulling you back to have another moment. It never ends.
It's a tribe of people around the world that feed off of that energy.
It's not a part of this world. You're stepping into liquid. You're stepping off of concrete ground and into an element that is always changing and moving and it's surrounding you, and it feels good.
The filmmaker, Dana Brown, is a sometime surfer. His father, Bruce Brown, made the classic surf documentary, The Endless Summer, back in 1966. Dana Brown traveled all over the world to find surfing fanatics, from Ireland to Vietnam to Hawaii to Sheboygan.
A friend of mine told me that the Malibu of Lake Michigan was Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which I started laughing because I didn't ever know there's a real place called Sheboygan. I think I'd heard it in, you know, maybe old Bob Hope movies or something. And we went, and just thinking that if there was one surfer and we could shoot the sign and one guy the surfboard, it'd be well worth the trip. And it turned out there's this whole subculture of them.
We've got a tight-knit group of guys, maybe a dozen guys. We've all kind of grown up together, and as kids hung out at the beach, and some of the guys went off to college, some went off to Vietnam, whatever. But guys came back and married and raised families, and we surfed through all of this. We hit the water, we hoot and holler for each other, we surf for 4 or 5 hours. Somebody will crack open a 12-pack of beer, and we'll just lie about the good rides we had, you know?
They wait till it blows a gale in Lake Michigan, and it produces these little 2-foot brown, you know, semi-god-awful waves, and they're just so happy to go surf them. So they kind of personify, I think, what's good about any passion, you know, an activity. They truly like it just for fun. They don't delude themselves that they're tremendous athletes or anything. They just enjoy the camaraderie of it.
They do take it seriously, though, don't they? One of them tells you the stoke is a global thing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Translate that, please.
Stoke is a word that surfers use, kind of derivative of, like, stoking the fire. You stoke it to get it hotter. The passion cuts through everything. People of different languages, young, old, male, female, that if you kind of share this passion, in this case surfing, the stoke's universal. What people feel in Japan or Indonesia, they're going to feel in Lake Michigan, so that you can relate to each other. And we're just fortunate he said it with that great accent, the stoke.
The stoke is a global thing. I don't think you can measure the stoke in regions of bodies of water.
You go back and find some of the older surfers who we also saw in your father's movie, The Endless mm-hmm. Summer, back in 1966, Robert August and Paul Strau. What keeps them going? These are what would appear to be older men in a really young men or young women's sport.
I think it's like dancing a little bit, you know? If you like to dance, you can still dance when you're 50 or 60. I like that segment because it showed, unlike many athletes that maybe at the top of their game, once baseball players probably retire, they don't keep playing baseball afterwards, you know, they go on to other things. But you can be a great surfer, and just because you're not doing it competitively anymore, not in the limelight, most of them are still surfing and having a good time.
I really enjoyed meeting in your movie Dale Webster from Northern California. He's a man with a mission.
Today was 9,182 consecutive days, a little over 25 years. I'm trying to surf to the year 2004, and by then I'll be up to 10,407 consecutive days. If I can reach that goal, you can tell that dreams can come true.
What do you think? Is he going to make it to 2004?
He's got to now. There's a bunch of people that are very aware.
That's
of
right.
His mission.
He can't quit now.
No, and it's coming up. It's this February.
You know, Dale Webster says he's trying to figure out what it's all about. Do you think he's going to figure that out?
You know, I think Dale has figured it out, that it's more the journey than what's at the end of the rainbow. He's found some niche that's unique to him. You know, he's a hard worker. he just doesn't give himself too many hours to work in a traditional sense, because he's basing his life around this, you know, having to catch three waves a day, every day.
You spend a lot of time with really hardcore surfers, too. A lot of them do something called tow-in surfing, which mm-hmm. means they go out in boats to get pretty far offshore so that they can catch really big waves. And there's got to be a lot of danger attached to that.
Oh, tremendous amount of danger. I mean, it just filming it, you feel semi-threatened. I mean, my hat's off to them, and I have no real idea why they do it except to test themselves. But they're the calmest, nicest people in the world. They just apparently have a screw loose somewhere.
Do they talk much about fear, about the dangers that they're facing mm-hmm. out there?
Yeah, they seem to embrace it, you know. You see them on the day of a big swell, and they're very quiet and kind of have that, what is it called, 100-yard stare a little bit. You know, they're not there even when they're there because they're so focused.
Hmm. You interview Jerry Lopez in this movie, mm. a legendary older surfer from Hawaii, talking about surfing the pipeline.
There's waves out here that are not meant to be ridden. They're just going to roll through and roll up everything that's in their way. You know, you're thinking, I'm going to die. Most times you don't. I mean, guys have died here. But it's so scary at that moment that, I don't know, maybe you die a little.
Yeah. They're well aware of the power of the ocean. You don't ever beat the ocean. The ocean is in charge. You know, it'll kill you and not know it. It doesn't do it on purpose. It's so big and powerful, so you're always... It's more of a dance with the wave, or permission to play with it a little bit, more than enforcing your will on it.
You end your movie 100 miles offshore of San Diego, the Cortez Banks. And you had been told by a surf forecaster that if you wanted to find the perfect wave, this was the day and this was the place
right.
to go.
People known about it. My dad had talked about it. I had heard about it. They're open ocean swells, and they're hitting the shallows that are what would have been, I guess, at one time a channel island that's now 2 feet underwater. And they just rise up like, it looks like the perfect storm a little bit. They look CGI or something.
CGI?
Computer graphic images. I mean, even when you're there in person, you can't hardly believe it. And they range that day from maybe 20 foot to 60 foot, or 60, almost 70, I think. And it was just... your mouth hanging open the whole time. My mouth still hangs open, even when I watch that segment. I still can't quite wrap my brain around what that day was all about. But it was so neat to see those guys kind of dream fulfilled, because some of them have been chasing that kind of thing for 15 years or more.
Well, Dana Brown, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.
Dana Brown's new documentary on surfing is called Step Into Liquid. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.